Romans chapter 12, and then following on from Gospel of John. So our first reading from Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing and perfect will. And our second reading from John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag. He used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Dave. Sean, come and join us. It's a real blessing to have Sean back with us. He works so hard in Albania and has been there for a very long time. We were reminiscing a bit yesterday afternoon about just how long it's been. Some of us remember when he was a very energetic young teenager. Without the white and the grey on the beard. So it's a real privilege to have Sean with us and a blessing to us. And we're just going to hand over to Sean now. You're going to tell us a bit about Jen and how things are, and then...
First thing I'll do.
Yeah. And then over to you.
Thank you, Nick.
I'm going to sit here.
Right. Well, good morning, St. John's.
Good morning.
Good to be back home in Mansfield for a few days. And first of all, I wasn't sure, as was already said, I was going to be able to make it. It was Jen, my wife. She's had an operation and there's been some complications, had an infection, and she's probably going to have another operation as well. So she's been a bit up and down for her, and things are a little bit awkward. But her mum is there at the moment. Her mum flew in on Thursday. I met her mum at the airport, and she's staying the week while I've come away for the week. So Jen has got someone there with her looking after her. And who better than mum, eh? Even better than me. So it's a bit... Obviously, that throws some of our plans into question, perhaps with some of the summer plans we have with camps, whether Jen will be able to be involved in that. But, you know, we're just taking it, obviously, a few days at a time and seeing how things happen. If she has another surgery, we expect it'll be in May. So that's the situation at the moment. And it's all to do with those parts of the body which affect one's dignity, so I won't say any more. Well, 25 years. It doesn't feel like 25 years that I've been in Albania. And I suppose that's because I've still got another 3 or 4 months to go to reach that to reach that milestone. Time has gone very quickly, and when I went to Albania, I didn't go with any sort of time frame in mind, and I think often that's best, isn't it? Because you just don't know what life is going to throw at you, and in the mystery of God's will, providences that come along your way, you can't plan for things very long term. Often the best laid plans get changed by circumstances. But you have been part of my life there over this 25 years through your prayers and, yes, through your giving, and also through some of you coming and helping with camps and outreaches. So it's wonderful that you've been able to share with me in that mission. And as I look back and think of the church that we started in Duricastra, where there was no church, no Christian church, and when I think of the church plant that we've started in Balch, and the youth club and outreach in Tepelena, and the church that has continued to grow, and then the many camps we've done, and children's outreaches, youth camps, student camps, student outreach, literature, and so much has been done, and it's wonderful that after 25 years we still have almost total freedom. For all means and purposes, we have complete freedom to do Christian mission work, to do gospel work in Albania. A country, of course, that was infamous for being one of the most closed countries in the world. Certainly it was the most closed country in Europe during the communist era. It was the most closed country in Europe for the gospel. And we've had 25 years of opportunity to do Christian mission. So let's thank God for that. That's wonderful. And still so many opportunities. And if you ask me what I'm doing, I'm doing the same things. The same things that I've been doing, they're the same things I'm doing now. We've moved from Duricastra to Tirana. I still travel to Duricastra quite regularly. But I'm involved in the same ministries and the same outreaches that I was before. And sometimes it's right to change, isn't it? And I know you have friends in Christian work and ministry and in different jobs, and sometimes people change, and sometimes it's right to change. But in my situation, it's been right just to carry on doing the same things, and that's been the will of God for me. And thank you again for fellowshipping with me in that mission work. I want to turn your attention now to the reading we had from Romans chapter 12 and those first two verses. These first two verses of chapter 12 of Romans are a bit of a hinge on which the rest of the book of Romans swings, as the Apostle Paul turns his attention away from looking in particular at the doctrine of the gospel. He talks about Christian living and focuses on the practicalities of Christian life. And he starts with an appeal in verse 1, and then we have two commands. But the appeal, I urge you, he says, and the appeal is really to give oneself to the Lord. It's an appeal that he's making to Christians. It's not an evangelistic appeal, although one could use it in that way. It's really an appeal to Christians. He's urging Christians to give themselves fully to serving God. And we as Christians, we need to hear that, don't we? We need to hear that time and again. We need to hear the voice of God calling us to serve him, calling us to give ourselves more fully to him. Paul does not command these Christians. He does not command them you must sacrifice yourself for the gospel. You must make sacrifice for the Lord Jesus. He doesn't command them. He appeals to them. He appeals to the faith which he knows is in their hearts. He appeals to the love of God and their love for God. He appeals to them. He's asking them to volunteer. One of the greatest stories, of course, of volunteers is the story of the 300 Spartans. When the Persian Empire, with that vast army, hundreds of thousands, invaded continental Europe, and nobody was going to stop them, but for a small group of volunteers, men who chose to sacrifice themselves to win time for their nation. Volunteers, when it comes to sacrifice, when it comes to putting yourself out, when it comes to giving things up, there's no point in trying to order people to do it. They're not going to do a very good job. Unless they feel within their own hearts a desire to do it, unless they're willing, you can't force someone to make sacrifices. It's not a sacrifice, is it? Unless you're willing to give it. And Paul here is he's urging these Christians, he's appealing to them. He's asking them, are you willing? He's urging them to be willing to make a sacrifice, to be willing to give themselves more fully to God. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. I lived for 23 years in Duracaster, which is a city in a very high mountain valley, and it's quite an evocative city. It's built of stone, and there's a great big fortress on the side of the side of the mountain. And very often in winter time and in the springtime, very often it's shrouded with fog. The dampness in that mountain valley, the dampness doesn't have anywhere to go, so the mist comes up, creates a fog across the valley, and it doesn't have anywhere to dissipate to. I remember one time I was with a Christian, Albanian Christian named Odyssey, and we went to a village to give out some evangelistic literature. I think we were giving out newspapers and calendars. And it was such a thick fog. It's very difficult to see anything. And then we went up to a village higher up the mountainside. And just as we were getting to the village higher up the mountainside, we emerged out of the fog into a beautiful, glorious, sunny day. We were dressed very thickly, very warmly, because the fog was very cold. And we took off our coats. And it was a beautiful, warm, sunny day. And we could see in front of us and down the valley beautiful peaks of the mountains. Suddenly everything, those mountains and everything around us, became clear. Paul, the apostle, he has spent 11 chapters working as a Sherpa. And he's been climbing up the mountain, climbing up out of the fog. He wants to bring Christians out of the fog and into the light, so that they can see the mountains of God's mercy. from chapters 1 to 11, Paul has been going to great lengths to explain to these Christians what the gospel is, what Christian hope is, how wonderful salvation is in Jesus Christ. He's talked about the forgiveness of sins, about having peace with God, about having hope, eternal hope. A hope which is so great that it goes beyond death. And he's been talking about the gospel, and it's like a range of mountains with a number of peaks, and that range of mountains is called the mercy of God. And so then he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. There was no point in saying to these people, I want you to sacrifice yourself. I want you to give yourself fully to God. There's no point in saying to that to people who don't understand the gospel. If you don't know, if you don't know in your heart that Jesus Christ has done something wonderful for you, and then you won't appreciate this appeal. You won't appreciate this call that Paul is giving for people to sacrifice. Only those who experience in their lives the mercies of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, those are the people who are able then willingly to give themselves. We love him because he first loved us. Dear Christians, let me ask you this question. Are you living in the fog? Are you living in a place where you're getting a little bit mixed up, where you're getting a little bit confused? Are you living in the fog? Is your thinking a little bit confused? Or have you come into the clarity? And are you thinking clearly? And are you seeing clearly what Jesus Christ has done for you? In Jesus Christ, we have a full and perfect and wonderful salvation. You see, the sacrifice which Paul is asking Christians to make, it's not a sacrifice for our sins. It's not to atone for anything that we have done. It's not to make ourselves right with God. Paul is urging Christians to give themselves to the Lord because of all the Lord has already done for them. And the language, of course, is Old Testament language. It's Old Testament language. It's Old Testament pictures, but with New Testament meaning. This language of sacrifice. But of course, it's lifted to a higher level. We're not talking about sacrificing a lamb or a goat or a pigeon. We're not even talking here about sacrificing money and material things, although the New Testament has something to say about that. On this occasion, Paul is talking about something even more important. He's talking about giving ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice. That is the heart of Christian living. That's the heart of living for the gospel of Jesus. It's where theology turns into walkology. It's where you live out, you practice what you believe. And how do you do that? You do that in your body, don't you? I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In view of God's mercy, because of all of what God's done for you. We've been talking about this, Paul. We've talked about this chapter after chapter. We've set out these wonderful truths of what Christ has done for you. Now, in response, I ask you, he says. And Paul is speaking to us today. And he's saying, in response to all that Christ has done for you, don't you want to offer yourselves? Don't you desire to give yourselves to him, to give yourselves to the Lord Jesus? Isn't that what your heart says you want to do? And what are you giving? Your body. Your body. Paul focuses on the body because we live our lives in the body. And even when you're playing those video games with virtual reality, you're still using your body. You're still using your sense of touch. You're still using your sense of sight. We live in the body. We do things. The things that matter to us, the things that are important to us, they're all lived out in our bodies. What we do with our hands, how we use our hands, where our feet take us, what we spend our time using our eyes to look at, what we spend our time and our lives using our ears to listen to. Have we used our hands to do evil? Have our feet taken us to places where we should not go? Have our eyes been dedicated to looking selfishly or lustfully or angrily at others? Have our ears been dedicated to listening to that which is unrighteous, which does not please God? Well, now because of all that Jesus Christ has done for you, you want to give yourself, do you not? Because of what Jesus has done for you, you want to give yourself to his service. It has been said, and I think truly, that it's much easier in a moment of martyrdom to take a bullet for your faith in Jesus, and it's much more challenging each day of your life to give yourself to living for God and not for selfish purposes. But that is the call. That is the call that is coming to you today. That is the word of God to you today. To give yourselves to the Lord because of all that he's done for you. And it doesn't only involve the body, it also involves the mind. So we have these two commands, briefly. One of them is a negative command, and the other is a positive command. The negative command is do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And the positive command is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Heard yesterday that you're getting a new pound coin. And how many sides is it going to have? 12 sides? What do you call a 12-sided coin? No? A pound. Well, the old coin and the new coin will have something in common, won't it? The old coin and the new coin, something in common. If you get a coin, I've got a coin in my pocket. Here, coin, it'll have the same head on it, won't it? It'll have the same impression on it. It's stamped with the Queen's head. Jesus was once asked about paying taxes to Caesar, and he gave a genius of an answer, didn't he? You know, and he said, "Give me a coin," and they gave him a coin. And he said, "Whose head is on this coin?" And they said, "Caesar's." And he said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." The command here: do not be conformed. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Pattern, that's the stamp. The world is trying to put its mark on you. The world is trying to make you in its own image. And we're talking about the world, we're not talking about the trees and the fields. We're talking about the system of this world, the godless, sinful system of this world. It's trying to put its own mark on you. And it has increasingly many and more tools to do that in the modern world than it ever had before. It is trying to conform you. It is trying to put its own image on you. When God made man, he made man in his own image, didn't he? But the world and the devil and sin is always trying to remake man in its own image. It's not easy being a Christian. If it was easy being a Christian, Paul wouldn't have to say these words. But Paul knows that Christians in every age are under pressure. Even though you're born again, even though you have the Holy Spirit in your lives, even though you have Christ with you, you're still in a battle, you're still under pressure. World is putting its pressure on. Do not conform. Don't sell out, says the Apostle Paul. And the world is very subtle. It's very subtle. It's very clever. It's very powerful. What are the pressures that you're under? Do you recognize them? Dear Christian friend, do you recognize what pressures are being put on you to try and make you what you should not be? How can you resist those? Well, you resist them by following this positive command, which says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we want to give our bodies to serve the Lord, give our hands to doing that which is good, and our feet to being active in serving God. But we also need our minds to be renewed. Be renewed. This is such a wonderfully positive command which comes to us from the Bible. Be renewed in your thinking. There's a church in Athens. It's called the Church of the Metamorphosis. And that's the word which is used here. Be transformed. It's the word here is metamorphosis. Be metamorphosed. Church of the Metamorphosis. I wonder, dear friends, I wonder, St. John's and St. Mary's, I wonder whether you're the Church of the Metamorphosis. You know, that's what God wants you to be. Not only individual Christians, but church congregations too are under pressure to conform to this world, to the spirit of this world, to the spirit of this age. But you need to be the Church of the Metamorphosis, to be transformed in your thinking, to think with the mind of Christ. And how does that happen? Well, it happens, of course, primarily through looking at God's word. Isn't that the essential mark of a Christian church? At the center of our church, at the center of our fellowship and our worship, it's the revelation of who God is. It's God's word. And you've come together today, as you do each week, you've come together to listen to God speaking. It's God's word which changes our way of thinking so that we think straight, so we get our minds straight, we get our thinking straightened out. And it's not just preaching, is it? And it's not just reading the Bible or other Christian books. It's talking together about spiritual things, talking together about the Lord Jesus, talking together and singing. What is our singing about as Christians? Isn't our singing about expressing the great truths of the gospel? It's all part of our minds being renewed. It's all part of the metamorphosis. And it's something which needs to happen continually. We never get to a stage where we don't need that anymore. We never get to a stage where, you know, I've learnt all this. We are a clay. We're a clay and we're under pressure. And we need the power of God's word to be at work on us continually, so that we're thinking right and then we're in a position to give ourselves to serving the Lord. Dear Christians, dear friends, let me ask you in closing, are you willing to serve God? Do you want to serve God? Do you want to live for Christ? Doesn't the answer to that question tell you whether you're a Christian or not? Doesn't the answer to that question tell you where you are spiritually today? Do you want to? And we're not asking what you've done for the church or for the gospel 5 years ago or 10 years ago or even last week. That doesn't matter anymore. What matters is now. Now, today, do you want to live for the Lord? Are you still thinking clearly about what Christ has done for you? And will you continue to recognize your need through Christian fellowship and worship to let God work in your life? Dear friends, may the Lord be with you. Amen.